This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Saturday here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III across the foam marble table as always. Rashawn Taylor.
Top of the morning.
And across the glass, Jordan Schultz.
Go Ducks.
Question mark?
That's too soon.
Why do you? Come on.
That's what I woke up thinking about.
You and the rest of the state, I guess. Anybody that's not wearing black and
orange. Come on. I wore black yesterday. Unfortunately, it was for the Ducks funeral.
That was just in the coffee line. And
but
the
murder. Before the funeral. Like, today is the funeral. Today we put them to rest for sure. But last night was the drive-by shooting that happened.
The girl in the coffee line said the Beavers fans that she knew even wanted the Ducks to win. So, I mean, when you talk about the whole state of Oregon,
it was the whole state. You know,
I wouldn't say the whole state.
Yeah, I mean, not the whole state, but there's, I'd say a vast majority of this state was in mourning last night.
Why? What happened?
Just some stupid stuff.
Someone dies. Someone, you know, did we lose a public?
Some spirits. Yeah,
yeah, I think
lose
something
a public,
died.
Lose a public figure.
A bunch,
like
a bunch of spirits, hopes. You know what I mean? Of a lot of people died yesterday. Potentially, some careers might have died a little bit. It could be resurrected, but at this point, you know, it doesn't look good, boss.
You would think being a Cowboy, Blazer, Duck, Oriole, Sharks fan like myself that I would get used to this feeling over time, but
how good are them Sharks?
They're actually pretty good this year.
Yeah,
and in playoff position, Macklin Celebrini, he's one of the up and coming bright stars in the NHL. I believe second in assists, six in goals.
Look at him.
Let's go.
Yeah, look at him. I mean, there's some bright spots, but there's one dark cloud just hanging over the state of Oregon. You know, yesterday there was a little sun rays coming in at one point. You know, last night, which is good, but then you know this morning, look up and see those clouds again.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I recall. I'm watching Alabama Vanderbilt right now, basketball. I'm more locked into that right now.
Well, now's a good time. You know what I'm going to do?
We're a basketball school.
I'm going to make a real effort this year to watch college basketball.
No, you're not.
I promise I am. I didn't say I'm going to watch a lot of it, but I'm going to make an effort to watch more college basketball. Currently, I watch none until the tournament. So I think that's saying something, right?
So you're already doing more now.
This is more basketball for college that I've watched in, you know, a couple seasons. I watch more women's basketball than
that's
I do.
That's that hard-hitting that analysis crazy. You expect on Sports Saturday. Wait till March Madness, baby.
In a million years, I would have never imagined that I would watch women's basketball before I watch men's.
Sexist.
I know, right? These days, they just don't,
you
know. The fellas just don't play hard enough.
We're canceled.
Shorts aren't tight enough, man. I need to be, you know, but yeah, I don't know. It's just more, I guess, you know what it is, and I've talked about this before, personalities, we get to know these players, we get to know for a couple of years before they kind of go on and do their own thing. But in men's college basketball, it's one and done. So I don't get a chance to see how good
and
a team
one and
can
done,
do.
Not just freshman wise, one and done, and I'm going to a different school.
Oh yeah, seriously. Now that the portal's open, if
one
I,
year and done with this school, and 1 year and
NBA,
done with this school, and 1 year yeah. and done with this school.
Which is
back to college.
Which is, I mean, I know we hate on it, but as a student, kind of dope. Like, I mean, if you're Carson Beck, I got a chance to win a national championship for Georgia, and I'm going to do one for Miami, and it's like, that's kind of tight. We know in high school, one of the things that they kind of always push back against, but you could transfer schools and end up at a bunch of different places, depending on how good you were, then, man, that is kind of awesome to be able to do that whenever you want. I'll say
Don't you want to win one with your boys, though?
Of course. And
sound like it. It sounds like you just want to transfer every
course,
year.
Of course,
million more bucks. Why not?
I'm just saying what a cool option it is to have that. Like, I think I'm one of those people that, you know, much like the women's game, I'm gonna stay for a couple of years and, you know, try to really win something and establish yourself as a great team. Which one and done team outside of maybe that Kentucky team that won? Can we say was like a great team?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a Duke team in there too.
Yeah.
Okay, the one with Jahlil Okafor and who else was on the team? It was a bunch of cats that were on that one.
I don't know.
That actually won the championship.
The way that you're making it sound like for high school, you'd be one of those guys that would have a great junior year and then find yourself playing for Lake Oswego or Westland the very next year.
Ooh, yeah, getting or yourself Jesuit. Jesuit. Yep.
If I mean, it
you would
depends.
Do you would well, do that in a heart.
Well,
set,
I'm from the PIL.
Heartbeat.
I'm from the PIL, so I mean, we have pretty good basketball there. So if I was transferring, it probably would have been within the PIL or something like that. If you were really, really that good and had a chance, and because the PIL is like, you know, Portland's really small. You end up being friends with a lot of the guys on the other teams. So, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't think I would be a Lake Oswego. I don't have a Lake Oswego or Lake Ridge or what's that? Central
Catholic. We'll take you, buddy.
Yeah, I don't have that.
You're putting up 20 and 10 in the PIL?
Yeah.
You're a Laker.
Yeah, sorry, can't do it. Thank you, Coach.
Well, I hope you guys are doing all right this morning. I'm definitely not hungover. I did not drink that much last night. I think I played a little center for the Detroit Pistons and played a little Penn Wallace last night, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that'll get you, you know.
Every time, almost.
Yeah, a little too much. Definitely had to go have a nightcap after the postgame show, though. It was one of those nights. I mean, your boy has, it's not dry January, it's damp January. So I shouldn't say, like, oh, no drinks at all. But last night, for the game, after the game, one total beer. I was coaxed into a Jello shot as well.
Yeah, those don't count. Those Jello are like desserts.
Yeah, that's not a drink.
How many calories are in
it's like
a Jello
liquor.
Shot?
It's like rum cake.
Oh, that's going to be like 60 or 75, something
Jello
like that.
Shot, for okay. a Jello shot?
One. Yeah.
No, it can't be 60.
About 34 calories.
Oh, wow. So half that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that depends on the sugar content, if you will.
It's a zero sugar
around
Jell-O.
Around 40,
they make
though.
It.
I'm seeing around 40. Okay. I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, you get some zero sugar Jell-O, they make it.
I mean, you go and hang out in Philadelphia at the Declaration of Independence signing with Benjamin Franklin, then, you know, you're going to... You might be in some trouble the next day.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for
just
sure.
makes my voice, like, after a couple times, man, my voice, it sound like the girl from The Ring.
Oh, no, man. I kind of like this baritone you're sporting today. Yeah.
Drag you across the floor.
I kind of like it. Gives real, what's the guy, Mike from Boys to Men?
Hey, I'm like you drinking water. That's
look at you.
Too.
I'm proud of you, man.
You notice that's no one, energy drink?
I've noticed it. This is like the second week in a row that you haven't had an energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday morning, he comes in with three of them, more than likely, because nobody can say anything about
it. Not true. I was thinking about going on a bender last night, that's for sure.
Well, I mean...
Not an energy drink bender, but...
Yeah, I think last night put a lot of people in a lot of... weird spots as far as their resolutions.
Yeah,
right?
What stage of grief are you in? 503-864-6326. What five stages of grief are you currently in, Duck fans?
Hmm. What are those five stages again?
We went over this last night.
Yeah, we did.
Like I said, I feel like...
I listened to most of the show, man. Great job, fellas.
Oh, thanks.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, bittersweet. That's not how you want the last one to be. You were hoping the last one would be for the national championship.
But denial?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they're losing this bad. Anger? I'm so angry that they're losing this bad. Bargaining? Well, you know, maybe the coordinators, you know, weren't fully... in it for this week. We've had a couple things happen at running back, you know. I think that's the bargaining part. Depression, which I would say probably that's where I'm at right now. I don't think I even did any bargaining with this
there
one.
There was none to be
had. I don't think there was any bargaining. Well, we did spot him 21 points off of turnovers, you know. We did kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. I guess that is part of the bargaining aspect.
I suppose, you know.
And then acceptance. I don't know when that's going to happen. Probably
March.
Yeah. Probably September.
I still haven't accepted that the Mariners were 8 outs away from the World Series. What was that, October? So, yeah. It might take a while.
Yeah. Is this something we're waiting for? We're talking about, okay. Yeah, I've accepted it. Like,
well, you can accept it. You're not, you don't care.
Well, it's not that I don't. How could I not care? I'm from Portland, Oregon. Like,
you're UNLV. You're a UNLV fan.
that's funny. No, that's awesome. Yes.
Shut it, Reb.
I totally am. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it's still hometown. And so, you know, I'm always going to root for hometown, especially when you're as big and as good as the Oregon Ducks are. This city, this state would have been so much more vibrant had the Ducks actually won the national championship and got that national attention from everybody. You wouldn't have been able to deny Eugene, Oregon, you know, anymore by them winning the national championship or at least going again. And unfortunately, you know, for me, I think we've seen this before. Been here before. This feeling is familiar. Always the bridesmaid. So I'm not like, it sucks, yes. And for any Oregon alum, like I feel for you because this is definitely not the way that you wanted that to happen. But, I mean, we've it's not like they haven't been here before, you know, and really as recent as 12 months ago in the exact same position for the most part, getting smoked out.
In fact, week passed.
Yeah, so almost to the day.
So next year we'll just get crushed in the national championship game. How about that?
I mean, a step forward, right?
How about a 35-point loss in the game over in the first half national championship game next year?
Outside of the Auburn game in the national championship for Oregon, like, when have these games been close?
I mean, they literally beat Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl last week.
Texas Tech is the one they're going to hang their hats on. That and James Madison. Those are going to be the ones that they hang their hats
Florida
on.
Florida State in the Rose Bowl that one time when they, you know,
destroyed Jameis. That was a good one. What happened the next game, though?
56.
And I think that's the part.
See, okay.
And I think that's the part. And
but
I think
you're moving the goalpost.
No, I'm not trying to move the goalpost at all.
So basically the parameter is national championship or semifinal.
No, of course not.
Nothing else matters.
I mean, for this team, yes. Georgia's not talking about just getting to the playoff every year. They're talking national championship.
If you're
going to
put us in the same conversation as Georgia, I'll take it.
But that's what I'm saying. To be in that conversation, you're going to have to win at some point. And when they get to these games, which are considered the biggest game, this wasn't just this. What game was this? Sugar Bowl?
This was the Peach Bowl.
This wasn't just the Peach Bowl. This is a rematch against Indiana, the only team that put a blemish on you the entire season and really made you look kind of bad in that game. And you follow that up with looking even worse when you were expected to go out there and compete in at least, 3.5-point spread? Was that the initial spread? So make the game close? Didn't even make the game close. Like, yeah. And for me, it was like...
Well, it was tied 7-7 at one point.
At one point, yeah, that was.
All 8 minutes to go in the first half, they were in the game, guys. Come on.
All of our spirits were lifted. But I'm just saying, like... For me, as somebody who's watched the Oregon Ducks for a really long time and always wanted, and even when I was in Las Vegas, rooting them on because that's where I'm from. And I have to explain, when you live in another place, you have to explain where you're from where they're not really familiar. They always think Portland, Maine is the first thing that comes up for whatever reason. No, I'm from Oregon, you know, University of Oregon, Portland, Oregon, the Trailblazers, all that stuff. And that's how you get people to know where you're from. So I got mad love for the Ducks. Definitely wanted them to see them go this far. But I'm kind of used to it now.
Thanks, Rashawn.
Sorry, bro.
I mean, I agree with you there as far as being
used to
it.
This is not. I'm a Blazer fan. Like, we're used to them being trash at certain points, or getting all the way there, or getting close to being there, and it's like, used to it.
Again, this is where I think that my fandom, my collection of teams, is the most depressing on the fan.
It might. Oh, Well, yeah.
At least the Orioles have won a World Series.
Yeah, the Orioles, that's what I was going to say. Like,
yeah, but when was that? When was the last one? 79, 80?
It was like 81, 80, yeah. The 80s.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
at least you had Cal Ripken.
Last Orioles.
I
mean,
and I guess as Blazer fans, at least we had Clyde Drexler, right? At least we had Sabonis, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Like, 83.
You could look at it like that, but...
I mean, yeah, you can hang your hat on the great, like, history of the players of your franchise. I mean, we can talk about Justin Herbert's career all day. We can talk about how awesome Bo Nix's 2 years were here. Obviously, the second better than the first.
Boy,
I think that's what Ducks fans are kind of getting sick and tired of talking about. They want to talk about a natty, damn it.
I was wondering on the way over here. We'll talk a lot about this Peach Bowl, the college football playoffs. We also had the Fiesta Bowl the other night with Miami beating Ole Miss. We have our national championship matchup. We have NFL playoffs to get to today. I was kind of wondering, though, and we won't spend too much time on this, is Kenyon Sadiq kind of like Justin Herbert when he was under Cristobal? Just like a dude, it's like, dude, why do not unleash him more, unlock him more? I feel like Sadiq, he's going to the NFL. There was moments this year he had some good games, but I feel like he was underutilized last night and kind of, underutilized throughout the season, but underappreciated, I think, by Will Stein in this offense. I mean, he's great blocking. Again, get the ball to him, but when you go and look at his stats this season, I mean, I would have been feeding that guy so much more often, so much more throughout the season. I feel like he was one of the player this year that was just like, man, as great as he was, that dude should have been getting fed all the time.
Yeah, it was just kind of one of those things where they had all these shiny new toys to play with, and that's kind of what they started doing. So you saw DeCorian Moore get a lot of the targets and stuff, and you saw some of these really good running backs. And some of them are leaving, you know, or at least one of them. And, you know.
Like half.
Yeah, like, you know, so we saw them kind of have this, you know, great season and a lot of production on the ground. So kind of takes away from what Kenyon Sadiq is able to do outside of just being a really, really talented tight end.
I mean, this year, I'm pretty sure this also is his stats, including last night. 51, 560, 8 touchdowns over 15
That's
games.
That's not enough.
I feel like that should be closer to like 80 receptions, 800 yards, and 12 touchdowns. I mean,
he's getting at least a couple targets on every single drive.
To your point, Rashad, he only carried the ball for 6 yards this year. And I made the point last night on the postgame show, and we can get further into it, but I thought that we had a Swiss Army knife. I thought that this was somebody that if you got into this situation, he could be used like you needed last night. And it was just weird not to see.
Yeah,
I think that if they wanted Kenyon Sadiq to run the ball, he would have ran the ball. I don't think it's, you know, a matter of, oh, he needs more carries. I mean, he didn't carry the ball at all this season, probably for a reason. I mean, I hear what you're saying, like, as far as, like, if he's as good as a player as he is, you figure out how to get him the ball under any circumstances. I think that if he would have been a viable option at running back or at carrying the ball, they would have explored that.
We heard that going into the season, no? We heard that, like, oh, Kenyon Sadiq is going to be this Swiss Army, this every kind of player on offense. He can run the ball, he can catch passes, he can block. Like, that's what we heard, and then when we don't see him used like that, I hear you, Joe, but it's just like, what the hell, guys?
And we know it can be done. We even look just on the professional ranks, and you see the guys like the Christian McCaffreys, the Bijan Robinsons,
okay, but
these guys.
How many tight ends are getting carries?
I understand getting carries. The fact that even somebody like a Debo, like, I mean, there are people that you can't put in certain situations and let them cook. So, I mean, that's more of an offensive coordinator, you know, situation. Like, if you have that guy, why not use him more? But apparently, like I said, they got all these other really, really high recruits, so why not try to use them, I guess, is maybe the mindset there.
Well, let's get into it a little bit more here. We're up against it, but we got plenty to talk about. You can share your text, 503-864-6326. Jump in on the YouTube chat. Let us know about your feelings of the Peach Bowl loss, Oregon Ducks falling to Indiana 56-22. We will get into that. We will get into a lot more of the college football playoff. The national championship is set. Hour number two, do a little bit more NFL playoff preview. It's wild card weekend starting today. We'll do all of that. Who do you love in the hour number two as well? It's still tight. Still tight. We'll do all of that today on Sports Saturday, but get into this Peach Bowl next here on the Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
So the Peach Bowl happened last night. Indiana wins 56-22.
Yeah, probably use some Thug Passion right now.
Probably. Then I'm going to have to go watch my son's basketball games and probably watch them get smoked as well twice today.
You got
to
think positive, man. You got to think positive.
Oh, yeah, that worked out yesterday.
Well, you can't win them all, apparently.
No, clearly can't win them all.
Yeah.
Again, I'm rooting for the wrong teams here. 56-22, the final score here. Someone on the text line. I'm in the anger stage because those turnovers and the offensive line play was absolutely unacceptable. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that what they just put on tape against Texas Tech the week before, it was a sloppy performance there. And I was saying to Jordan last night during the postgame show, it was just like, did you not see what you did last week, and then you come out and have this performance? I mean, last week there was bad snaps, bad quarterback running back exchange, low snaps. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a sloppy game on the offensive line. Dante, I mean, had a decent game, but still nothing eye-popping by any means. And it was just one of those, like, all right, go get your lick back in this game against Indiana. Like, defense showed out, offense, now go improve yourself. And then you start the game with an interception. You get a fumble in in your own territory that leads to a quick touchdown. You then get a fumble where you literally, the ball gets hit by the running back's elbow in your windup that then sets them up on the 3-yard line. I mean, you get a punt blocked at the end of the game when you're even throwing up the white flag saying we give up and punting. It gets blocked and you get worse field or give them better field position than you would have if you would have just gone for it on fourth and seven, whatever it was. It was just the turnovers. You cannot spot a team 21 points,
especially when they're as good as Indiana is. You know, the last thing you want to do is spot them points or yards. And the Ducks managed to do both of those things. Like, the first interception, I remember I text you guys, and I can't remember what I said. I was like, uh-oh, that's definitely not good. Like, first play of the game of scrimmage, like, to see that happen, you can tell those guys were, like, shell-shocked, kind of looking around like there's no way that that just happened. They were able to respond and everything and go down and drive and score. Good. That made us all kind of feel like, all right, this is going to be a good game. They made a mistake. They figured it out. And then after that, another mistake. Okay, they can get it back. They're a good offense. And then another. And then by that point, I was like, all right, man, they clearly don't want to play. They had too much fun last night in Atlanta. They clearly hit Magic City super, super hard, or 112 or wherever they went, because they were anything but focused on football in that game. And it was over early. By the time we got to the middle of the second quarter, I said, this game is over. I turned the channel. There's no point in watching for a long time. And then I end up turning back and was like, okay, watch some more. Nope, I was right. I can turn the channel. This is over. There's no real takeaway from that game other than the fact that in all phases of the game, Oregon was not good, unfortunately. And Fernando Mendoza was amazing. He pretty much hit every blade of grass out there, 5 touchdowns, and really didn't throw for 1,000 yards or anything like that. Man, 177 yards, mm-hmm. 5 touchdowns, no mistakes. That's how you win a Heisman. That's how you win a national championship. And that's how you destroy one of the biggest teams in college football. And it was disappointing to see, right? It was disappointing to watch that offense look as putrid as they did last night. Like, that offensive line, again, was awful. And I'm trying to be mindful of the fact that the run game was clearly impacted, right? A bunch of guys out, you know, dealing with injuries. You got to rely on people that haven't really played a whole bunch this season, and now you got to, in the biggest game in arguably Oregon's history, you know, potentially, we'll see. I mean, they have played for a national championship.
They
played for a national championship, but again, this is a get back game against a team that everybody feels you should have beaten, and instead of getting back, they got you again, and this time even worse. It's like being beat up the first time and wanting your ones again, and then they just emphatically beat you up because just for coming back to challenge them. That's kind of what happened here. And so, I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can tell your team. I overheard Anthony Newman talking about, man, what you tell your team at the end of the game. And it's, man, great season. Good job, guys. Like, this is, you know, we made it further than, you know, damn near 200 other teams in college football. And, you know, and here we are. So don't hang your heads. Let's get ready for next year for the guys moving on. Man, it's been a pleasure. For the ones coming back, let's run it back. Let's do it again. You know, that's really all you can say. Like, there's no real takeaway from getting blown out like that.
I'm trying to find, I believe, 2025, yes, college football win total odds. I mean, this is what we were kind of illustrating when we were talking last night as far as, and I don't know if this is regular season wins or just total wins on the season, but Oregon was set at 10.5 for over-under win totals. So, I mean, to look at the season, I mean, coming into this year, I would say that most Oregon fans, media, prognosticators about this team had them at about 9-10 wins. You're going to stub your toe a couple times in the regular season against Big Ten competition. You did it only once in losing to Indiana. You go and then you get 2 victories in the college football playoff. I mean, you were one of the last 4 teams. When you look at as far as when you take out the score and the result of the game, which I know is hard to do, but compared to what they were expected to do coming into the season to what they did, yeah, the season probably went better than a lot of people were expecting. A lot of changeover on offense, positional-wise, different players. And I think that what you saw out of the team, it was more highs than lows this year. That goes without saying. Obviously, you finished 13-2. But I think that this is just where it's going to stick in people's craw, is that this was last season. Like, you went 13-1 last year. You were 13-0 last year, whatever it was. Went 12-0, won the Big Ten championship, and then the Rose Bowl happened. All right, cool. So this year, you go 13-1 and into this game, and you have the chance to beat the team that beat you. Everybody was saying all week long, you know, the whole adage, which I just don't ever believe in, hard to beat the same team twice. I mean, that's not yeah, that's, I guess, a line in sports. But as I was saying last week about, was it the whole thesis thing? It's like, I would love to see the data that talks about teams playing the same team twice and what that win-loss record is. Because I would bet you the team that won first has probably won more of the rematches over the course of history. But I think that just fans are just going to be upset with, all right, well, it was another great season that ended with an absolute dud of a game. And that's where I think the problem is just the ending result and what you have left, the taste you have left in your mouth as you go into the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not the way you want to go. Especially,
it's not like the whole, like, damn, we were right there, 3 points. Oh, my gosh, made it to the national. It's like, no, second straight year, you got absolutely
blown out. Like,
B to A, yeah. Right there.
And so, maybe if you're Dante Moore, you look at this and say, there's no way I can leave now. There's no way I can go. I have to stay here and try to win a national championship. Or you look at this and say, man, get me the hell out of here because offensive coordinator's leaving. It's a mess. I'm losing a lot of weapons. Like, get me out of here and get me somewhere else. Potentially he's, you know, thinking that. So it can really go both ways. So I think a lot of it is going to start with, what is your quarterback feeling? Does he want to come back to Oregon, or does he want to bolt for the NFL? Or does he do something silly? Like, is it too late to enter the end of the transfer portal? Think so?
I think they get a little bit more time being a team that's still playing. I think the opportunity to enter the transfer portal, they get a little bit more of a window after their season's
over. If that's the case, does he go to, you know?
Well, he's not going to transfer.
I mean, now everything's on the table for him. And so now I think what I'm saying is, for Dante Moore or for the Oregon Ducks, is going to really depend on, man, what does your quarterback do? If he moves on, however he moves on, that kind of leaves you in a position to, are you looking for someone else through transfer portal? Do you feel like you have your guy through recruiting? Like, yeah, that kind of changes things a lot.
There's an additional 5-day transfer window following the game that you plan.
Yikes, that's frustrating. All the guys didn't have to leave leading up to this game, and they did anyways.
Or they don't want to be a distraction. If you're a big part of the team, you don't really want to be a distraction, you know?
I mean, guys that enter the transfer portal, they're just trying to give themselves the opportunity to have the most schools available to come after them. Because if you enter the transfer portal late and, you know, however many schools have already got a running back, already got a DB from another school and kind of filled that void, and then you enter, it's kind of like, well, we don't need you.
I thought you were an elite 3 or 4 star. You know what? This sucks. Like, I get it, but these kids, I guess they're just not as good as we thought they were. Because, like, why would Jay Harris need to get into the transfer portal early? You know, why would any of Oregon's running backs need to get into the transfer portal now?
Yeah, and I think, you know, they know these other schools can maybe offer more money.
Well, again, I think there's just more schools that are looking for those positions at the beginning of the transfer portal than at the end. At the end, they've maybe filled those spots on their depth chart. So if I am looking at it, there's 3 days left to enter the transfer portal and I enter it, then there's going to be a lot of schools that are already off the board because they've already, you know, signed guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now the transfer portal is really the way you win. Look at Indiana. Look at all the guys they were able to get, you know, based on the transfer portal and everything. So yeah, I mean, it definitely works. And I think that's why you're seeing so many students go there.
Keep talking about this game. 503-864-6326. You can jump in on the YouTube chats, share your thoughts. As far as Dante Moore's performance, Dan Lanning, this Oregon team, the coordinators both leaving after this season. Whatever your thoughts are, share it with us. We'll read it here on air on Sports Saturday. But first, let's kick it over to Jordan Schultz for your SportsCenter update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back into Sports Saturday. Read some of your texts. 503-864-6326. YouTube chat as well. Only positive for the Ducks is that this will likely bring Dante Moore back to college, which I think is a good thing. We'll keep the hype on the Ducks this offseason.
It's kind of what I feel.
Also, some more disparaging texts on Dante Moore a little bit further down.
Ooh.
But... just on his play, you know, not on him as a person.
Well, of course not. It's not about them as people, but you're
you know, I question his integrity. You know, I question his mental psyche. I do question him as a person, actually, now, after this game.
Well,
is he a good person?
He's
one of the worst. Look how he made everyone feel.
Dante Moore, yeah, I mean, he should come back. I thought before the game he was going to come back anyways, just because of who's coming back for Oregon offensively next year. You know, run it back. I mean, hell, another year of off-season improvement, off-season, with a new offensive coordinator, too. Intrigued to see what the new guy does, the tight ends coach that they're promoting from within. I'm not going to speak for all Oregon fans, but I want to see the offensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator for the Ducks just get a bit more creative, open things up a little bit more. I think fans over the last couple of years have been a little bit I've run a little bit tired of the conservative nature that this offense is, where it's screen, dink and dunk, between the tackles, inside. Like, I feel like they want a little bit more. Not saying that we need to go back to the Chip Kelly era pace and things like that, but I think that it's when you got players on the outside like you do, DeCorian Moore, I mean, Jeremiah McClellan, I mean, he was a revelation this season with some of his contested catches, what you're going to have in the backfield with Jordan Davison, Deer Hill, and then, you know, whoever's going to step up, at least in the tight end room, because you're going to be losing, obviously, Saliapaga looking like he's going to be the next up there. Just intrigued to see what this offense looks like under a new offensive coordinator, and if it maybe unlocks some things in Dante that we have not yet to see on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been really the outcry since, like, Arroyo was here, right? Like, that's the ex, right? The face you made, like, get more creative. Stop being so dink and dunk. You have Justin Herbert, use him. Like, do stuff. Like, kind of the same thing, you know, you were just talking – earlier, Jordan, about Kenyon Sadiq, about having him be more involved in this offense if possible. And I think that's some of the same stuff that Oregon fan was crying about when Arroyo was your offensive coordinator. And when, you know, I'm looking back and Oregon does need to find something more creative. Who is that? Are you going to pay Josh McDaniels a bunch of money to come, you know, be your offensive coordinator? That's what I'm saying. Are you going to play Mike McDaniels?
What?
Are you going to go get Mike McDaniels? Are you going to go do something like
Mike's
that?
Mike's not coming.
Of course
back
not. And that's
NFL.
The thing. Nobody that, you know, is coming up with
Why?
Like a
they
lot
don't
of
want him.
No, they wouldn't want him. I don't think they would want
him. No, I don't know why. It's so fun. Oh, the NFL. He's not going to have to come back down from the NFL. What are we talking about?
Not to be a coordinator. Not to be a coordinator. For a head coaching job somewhere, potentially.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. It's an easy gig. You see so many coaches taking $4 million a year.
Because it's the NFL.
Yeah, it's the NFL. I can be a head coach in the NFL or
even being an OC in the NFL.
Assistant pimp in college, you know? And so, yeah, so of course you're going to, even an OC job in the NFL is still a step higher than a head coaching job in college. And so it's just kind of one of those things, depending on which college you're actually coaching at. But the point is, like, Oregon, you're right. They do need to, and this is more on Dan Lanning. I think I think you know who you're hiring when you get them. You know who's creative. You know who has a good football mind and is going to be able to get the most out of the talent that you have. So I think a lot of this is going to be on Dan Lanning as far as hiring a staff, hiring the right person. Mind you get good guys.
Like, they have their OC already.
Yeah, they promoted.
It's the tight end coach.
So, what I'm saying is you promoted your tight end coach, and if you're sure that he's going to be able to bring a new creative, a fresher outlook on this offense, then for sure. But if it's going to be the same old song, I don't know if Oregon fan is going to be happy with that next year, especially – I'm not sure what the schedule looks like. Do we have a schedule ready for next year?
Not schedule. Home and away games are known. It is out there.
Let's see what those are.
Do we know
if Michigan or
Michigan's at home?
Ohio State.
Ohio State is in Ohio State.
So those are two games, already two harder games than you had on your schedule than you had all season this year. Right, with those two games, depending on what Michigan's going to be able to do. We think that Michigan's going to be better, just considering the new head coach that they hired. So there is that right there. So I think you have to make sure you come in looking a little bit different, looking a lot fresher, and being able to disguise some stuff and make it look like this offense. Not saying they're going to go back to Chip Kelly 72 points a game or something like that. That would be cool. But again, Chip brought a whole new outlook on college football. Like, not saying the next person is going to do that, but what can the Oregon Ducks do to be a lot better offensively than they were this year?
Get more consistent quarterback play. And I'm not saying Dante Moore didn't have good stats all year, but
not yesterday.
You guys, well.
Well, yesterday he did. He actually did. If you look at his stats yesterday, he played a good game. Look at that turnover. You look at those. Exactly. If you look just at the stats, just stats only, right? Don't look. Pay attention to the game. And then you look at those turnovers and you go, damn, okay, yeah, I see that. Right there. But you look at throwing the ball, he did what he was supposed, quote unquote. You can't see it on the radio. Or, I'm using the quote fingers, supposed to do. But yeah, he made a lot of mistakes in that game.
I think, trying to ignore what actually happened in the game and look at the stats is impossible. You need the context of the game.
Of course.
Also, when you're down a whole bunch like that early, you kind of have to throw the ball.
You have a choice.
Yeah, that was kind of the
trap. A lot of those yards, a lot of those completions, that's essentially garbage time completions the whole second half.
And you look, so stat-wise, he's had good games throughout the season, but there's just been, those ripples, that bad performance the first time against Indiana. He threw two picks against James Madison a few weeks ago to start the college football playoffs. There was that little blip where Northwestern, he didn't really have a good game offensively. Two games, I know Oregon played down, as a team, to Iowa and to Wisconsin middle of the year, but there are times where if Dante Moore had played better, that they would have absolutely walloped the hell out of that team. And I think that's what Joe and I were kind of talking about last night. You want to see a team like Oregon beating teams down. You have more confidence in a situation against such a good opponent like Indiana playing them a second time. And I don't know, man. I don't want to bag on Dante Moore, but like, when you're inconsistent, to me, you're bad. I hate the term inconsistency in the world of sports. Well, because Joe, you are so now college kids are paid. Dante Moore's getting paid $3 million. Now, it's not much compared to NFL guys. That's not the point. You are getting paid to show up and be good, right? It irks the hell out of me when you show up and then you suck. And well, if he could just get more consistent, it's his damn job. Whoa. So next year, no stupid picks, no getting bamboozled by defenses, and whoever Drew Maringer and whoever's calling plays, whether it's him or somebody else on the offensive staff, run Dante Moore at least 10 times a freaking game.
Well, that's not going
to
happen.
You need to, though. You know how many times that happened this year?
I'm telling you, Dante has said he hates to run.
Sorry, buddy. I don't like to do all the aspects of my job either. That, to me, that's just a guy not willing to do what it takes to win. Of course he hates to run, but he's got the skill to do so, and him
saying... Well, and I think if you're... think of how many offensive plays there are in a game. If you're dedicating 10 plays to Dante Moore running the ball, I feel like 7 or 8 of those could be better plays.
I disagree, because you are taking a guy from the defense and then forcing him to spy and play.
With all the talent they have on this offense, skill-wise, having Dante Moore run the ball 10 times, like I said, seven to eight more plays.
I disagree, guys.
He's not Cam Newton. You know, he's not Russell Wilson even. Like, even like the kind of a thicker running back or quarterback that can take a lot of contact and stuff like that. He's not one of those guys either. Like, Dante Moore is, what, 6'3", 205, 206,
you know
what
I mean? Something like that. Yeah, speed to get down the sidelines.
So he's got speed, but he also, you know, we've seen him get nicked up a little bit. Maybe not tough stuff, but if he runs 10 times a game, I think that's going to put him in a position to where, now, on short yardage, something like that, you're trying to get a first down, yes, absolutely, take advantage of that. But, like, design plays for him to run, I would kind of steer away from that, even though he can. These college linebackers and defensive ends, you know, hey, these dudes are big and they're fast, and this is how you get – and these corners and safeties are dying to take a quarterback's head off. So the last thing I need is for, you know, your potential number one pick of a quarterback and potential Heisman candidate to be hurt because he wanted to scramble for 7 yards.
I mean, I get Fernando Mendoza's a couple inches taller, but he's willing to do it. Like, what you're saying is something that other quarterbacks, not in the NFL or around college football, are willing to do.
Yeah, but not every quarterback is a running quarterback.
I'm not saying that, but Dante has the skill to do so. Does he have the big body to, you know, pad guys with his shoulder every single time? Of course not. But he has that ability, and hearing him say, oh, I don't like to do it, as opposed to other quarterbacks that would just be like, you know what, I got to do it, that gives me pause as a Duck fan.
All right. Well, I think it's not a matter of he runs when necessary. I don't think he's clamoring, hey, we need to run more QB draws or RPOs, and I'm going to take it a lot more and just run myself. I just don't think that is a recipe for success to have him run that much. I don't think that's going to completely revolutionize the offense.
No, I think everything was all good when the Ducks were winning and beating people, you know, convincingly and everything. And then there's a couple games. Football, unfortunately, there are going to be a couple games you got to struggle through. Every game isn't going to be a 14-point, 21-point, you know, win. You know, there are going to be some times you're going to have to eke out some wins, and it's going to be 18-16 like it was against Iowa, or it's going to be a closer game. Like, so sometimes you're going to have to do that. And so I can appreciate Dante Moore because we've seen Joe Burrow, and we've seen Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have these games where they're not, you know, they're not 42-40, you know, they're close games that end up being 13-10 and 16-10 and stuff like that. So sometimes you're going to have to do that. So I appreciate having a quarterback, if you're an Oregon fan, that can do that and is able to keep you in those games still. But at the same time, like, you can't do what he did in big games. I think it's easy to focus on his mistakes that he's made when he made so many of them in for Dante Moore, the biggest game of his life, of his career as a college quarterback was yesterday. And so, yes, it's easy to kind of focus on all the bad, but you look at this season, there's a reason he's considered the number one pick by a lot of people, is because he made so few mistakes. But when he did make them, they were glaring because he didn't make a whole bunch. So,
take a quick break. Share more thoughts on this one as the Ducks lose 56-22 to Indiana in the Peach Bowl. Do a little bit of a championship preview. I mean, we will have a show before the national championship, so we can do that a little bit more in a week from now as far as Indiana versus Miami goes. All Adidas championship, first time ever.
That's weird.
Yeah, no Nike school. Adidas versus Adidas.
Shout out to Adidas.
Three-stripe life. Take a quick break. Get right back to it here on Sports Saturday on The Fan. Final thoughts on the Peach Bowl. Someone says Stein and Tosh should not have been allowed to coach after they took other jobs. Those guys looked like zombies before the game. We talked about this a little bit last night. I think it's it's a convenient as far as when you're looking to point finger, find excuses, reasons as to why that game happened the way it did. I think that when both your coordinators are leaving and they aren't even with the team at the beginning part of the week because they're doing recruiting, I don't know if it was recruiting trips. I think Tosh LePoy was hosting recruits down in Cal this week. But I mean, let's not forget Dan Lanning took this job when he was still had the job at Georgia. You know, like, that was an example of a coach, literally the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, was in the same position as LaPoy, as Will Stein. Now, granted, different programs, different, I wouldn't say expectations, because Georgia's expectations to win a national championship, Oregon's was to win a national championship now. When you put yourself in a position when you're one of the final four teams in the semifinal, I also find it hard to be like, oh, well, you know, we were just happy to be here. It's like, well, you got there, and at that point, you should be wanting to and expecting to win a national championship.
I mean,
but with Dan, going back to the Dan Lanning thing, it's like, again, he literally did the same thing that these guys did. Took a job before the season was over, still coached the team, and that Georgia defense showed up that time. So, again, if you want to extrapolate that data as far as coaches leaving and then what happens to the team, I mean, Lane Kiffin left his team, and they're still winning games, right? I mean, they lost their whole coaching staff, and they went all the way to the semifinal. Not their whole coaching staff, but, you know, I think that that narrative of blame the coordinators that are on their way out, it's convenient when things don't go the right way. It's a convenient 100%. Route to go. I understand why it's difficult for the team, but again, I think that's an easy, well, those guys were checked out.
And I can't remember if Dan Lanning was hosting recruits or anything in Eugene when he was, you know, going for a national championship with Georgia at that point. I can't remember what his schedule
was.
I'm
sure he was working on it. I don't know if he was in Eugene, but I'm sure he was taking calls and he was dedicating part of his schedule.
I'll always say I don't understand why what 2 weeks is going to change as far as recruiting. I know a lot can, but if I'm a head coach or a new head coach and I'm talking to a crew, it's like, hey, man, I'm actually en route to a national championship right now, but give me 2 weeks and then we can have a conversation. I've always been so curious as to why the push for let's start the job right now while I'm still doing another job. Like, no, you're not playing for the Big Ten championship, or you're not playing for just the Peach Bowl. Like, if that were the case and this were just the Peach Bowl and there was no reward for winning, that would be something different. But the fact is, like, this is an opportunity to go to the national championship. Why are you anything but focused on what your team has to do to get there? Like, I understand being excited and having all these new tasks for your new gig that you're going to get and everything, but you still have to do, I mean, either put in 2 weeks or leave, you know, type thing. Like, so I don't understand why you would still kind of be doing both things. Like, as difficult as we know recruiting is, and as tedious as it is for these coaches to go through the recruiting process, why would you put that on your plate on top of preparing for the biggest test that you've had all season?
Well, I think it's just, again, this is conversation that has been ad nauseum. You get this job and you immediately have to start recruiting. You immediately have to start working the transfer portal. You can't just be like, all right, I'm going to take this job and I'll come through in a few weeks once this season's over. It's like, there ain't time.
But if you want,
you have no time to waste.
But if you want a Will Stein, if you want one of these guys, a Tosh LaPoy, or somebody who has been a huge part of a great team and they know that you're on the way to a potential national championship, you couldn't be like, yeah, bro, hey, I get it. I can take this job. I need 2 weeks. We're almost done with this process. I still have a job to do. How much more am I going to get if I'm considered a national championship winning coordinator that's now a head coach? Like, so I understand, like, there's recruiting, but is 2 weeks going to stop? Like, I'm not sure how long ago was LaPoy hired, or how long ago was Will Stein hired?
About a month, 3 weeks.
About a month, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Probably the 10th of January. Yeah.
Enough time, like, enough time to be able to have prepared for all those things as far as getting the recruiting stuff started. I'm like, hey, guys, man, I'm this national championship stuff, man. Put everything on hold, give some stuff to some assistants. Ooh. I'm going to catch up with you guys.
Yeah, I hate to pull the narrative away or poke a hole in your guys's, but really great point by somebody on the YouTube chat, and I did check this. It was true. Will Muschamp actually called the plays for Georgia in that national championship game. Yes, Dan Lanning was the co-defensive coordinator, but reading along these lines, it seems like they let him be around. He was not specifically game planning. So, maybe big difference between what Tosh and Will have done this week for Oregon leading up to that loss, as opposed to what Dan Lanning did. He was there, but he was probably, you know, present in the building, but then going back to make calls for Oregon without then having to come back to game
plan. If that really is the case, then this is what should have happened last night in Atlanta. If that was really the case, and he didn't have a chance to call defensive plays, then and whoever called, that should have happened in Atlanta last night. And for whatever reason, it didn't. And it was clear just by looking at those two guys' faces, it was clear it's been a long, long couple weeks. Very, very clear. They didn't look fresh. They didn't look ready.
Especially. Will Stein looked. I thought Tosh looked all right.
Yeah,
Will Stein
looked as all right as Tosh like can look. Right? You know, but Will Stein looked like he was at Magic City or something like that. Like it wasn't a great look. And so it didn't reflect well. And maybe that was why your offense was so slow. Maybe that was why your offense was so discombobulated in between there and making those silly mistakes. But either way, it was disappointing to see. And like I said, if that is the case and Dan Lanning didn't call any plays, I think he would remember what history has taught him and just go ahead and do the same thing. I got this today, guys. Like y'all don't look like you have it. We'll take care of it. I don't know. That's, you know.
Is this the bargaining part? Is that what we're doing right now?
I think
stages of grief.
Again, I think I'm just trying to look at the whole coordinator thing as far as placing blame on them. They were still there. I hear it. If you're there and you're going to be coaching, then you better have a good game plan. But when you get a performance like this, then definitely there's going to be people pointing fingers as to why the hell that happened and were you fully invested in what was going on.
I'm a huge wrestling nerd, and I watched this documentary. It's called Who Killed WCW? And it was a great look, and it was like five parts, but it was looking at every single part that could have been blamed for why that company is no longer in business. When I look at this Ducks team, I can't just put blame on Will Stein. I can't put it on LaPoy. You know, I can't put it all on Dante Moore. You know, I can't put it all on the offensive line. Like, everybody deserves equal blame for how bad they were. The defense let a lot of points get put on the board. We haven't talked about that much at all. Like, the defense let a whole bunch of points, 52, in fact,
seven of that was a pick six, and then 14 of that was...
Special teams is defense, right? Special teams is considered defense, is it not?
Well, again, 7 points were a pick six.
3-yard field.
So that's not on the defense.
7-yard field for two other tutties.
Yeah, exactly. Two fumbles that were in their territory, one of those being on the 3-yard line, the other one being on the 21.
Fair. And then a blocked punt from what,
and then
the
a blocked punt. So, I mean, that's literally 28 points that the defense got screwed over on because the ball was handed right to
Indiana.
That's
fair. That's fair. And can we account for the other, you know?
I mean, that would have made it a 28-22.
I get it. You know,
I mean, that's 24 points, or what is it? 26 points.
28 points.
28 points.
Four tutties.
So I think both sides had their mistakes. So again, I don't want to just put blame on just one side. Special teams was terrible. You know, getting a punt block and everything. So yeah, there are so many different things that went wrong for that team. So I think we can really look at every piece of this Oregon Ducks offense, coaching staff, and say this is on you. We could really, really do that for everybody.
All right, that's enough of that. Want to talk some NFL now?
That's happening. Yeah, let's do that.
That is happening. That is something that is on the calendar, Rashad. We got college football playoff championship game all settled up. We'll talk more of that next week just to put our final thoughts on also the Miami win over Ole Miss, but also the matchup of Indiana-Miami. But let's get to the NFL playoffs. We got two games today, I believe, three tomorrow, and then one on Monday. Do we do a bracket? Do we do an NFL bracket here?
Why not?
Live on air. Choose who our champion is for this NFL playoffs. Do that next here. Hour number two, Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.